This is Talk Back Gardening with Deb Tribe and Sophie Thompson.
On 891, ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Back Gardening. Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning, Deb, and good morning, listeners.
Now, Sophie, the big question on everyone's lips, well, certainly on mine, is did you get any rain last week for Shingleback Farm?
We did. We actually got 5 mils, which is not much, but it was still delightful. And we are hoping that we'll get some today, although it is rather funny when you look at the range over the 4 days and it's like 0 to 100 mils. So I would love it if we got rain. So would my garden. So would the plants I've planted out. But we will wait and see.
Yes. Well, I can say we're getting so many weather reports this morning and so inconsistent. Some places saying not a drop, nothing in the gauge. Other people like Lorraine saying 18 millimetres at Mawson Lakes and it's still raining. So it really depends where you are in the state. It seems to be missing some. Pat from the Barossa says, feels like the rain hits the Adelaide coast then drops away along the coastline towards the southeast. But so many different reports coming in. I hope you get some, Sophie.
So, oh, thank you. So do I. But, really either way, you know, it's unusual. And those that are getting it, I hope that, you know, your garden appreciates it. I'm sure your garden will appreciate it.
Exactly. And I hope everybody that wants the rain is getting it today. Well, coming up, we're going to speak to Joe Kilinowski in a moment from Joe's Connected Garden. There's an event that's coming up today, but we're going to speak to Joe more about the amazing fruits and incredible plants that he manages to grow just in the backyard. Sophie, you're going to be talking about some autumn actions to do in the garden. Now is the time to get those jobs done.
Absolutely. And, you know, of all the times in the year, I think if you can invest time in your garden in autumn, you know, the payoff you get is massive.
Yes, and Sophie's going to answer your questions most importantly. So call in now on 1300 222 891 to have a chat with Sophie. And we'll do that right now with Patricia in Hove. A fruit I'm sure Joe Kilinowski has got a lot of experience in, which is pomegranate. Patricia, welcome.
Thank you both for taking my call. I do appreciate it.
Now, you've got a pomegranate that you want to plant out.
Yeah, it's been in a pot for a couple of years. Last year we had lots of flowers and they all dropped off bar one, but we got one lovely pomegranate. This year we've had nothing. The pomegranate is about a metre and a half in the pot and I want to put it in the ground and I just need to know when and where and how.
They're pretty hardy. I've got five different ones growing out here and some of them came from the Rare Fruit Society. And really, you know, like common sense, reasonable soil. Any thing you do to improve the soil obviously improves its water holding capacity. They want good drainage and a sunny position. And apart from that, really bung them in. And the thing about pomegranates, they are so pretty as a tree that, you know, you mightn't relegate it to the, you know, productive part of the yard. You might decide to have it in the front yard because they are so gorgeous.
Oh, that's fabulous. Thank you. Any particular time to do it?
Well, I reckon if you get some rain and it softens the soil for you, I would be starting to think about it now. You know, I mean, the great thing about planting in autumn is that there's still warmth in the soil, so the root system of the plants can sort of start to settle in. So, yeah, if you get rain, that makes it easy to dig. You know, do make sure you've got good drainage. Make sure you've improved the soil. You know, that's common sense with anything, and it will pay off.
Oh, thank you so much. Much appreciated. Love the show.
Oh, lovely. Thanks, Patricia. Love getting your calls on 1300 222 891. I've got a couple of ABC magazines to give away a little bit later in the program as well. But let's speak to Joe Kilinowski from Joe's Connected Gardens. Now, that is in 6 Argent Street in Elizabeth Grove, but there is a sale happening today. That is the Saturday, the 28th of February at Andrews Urban Farm from 10 until 3. And that's at 45 Northampton Terrace in Elizabeth East. And the amount of different and unusual plants that you can get there is really high. So let's welcome Joe Kilinowski to the program to tell us what is on offer. Hi, Joe.
Is that Sophie? Hi, is that Sophie? Or
it's Deb
and Sophie. You get two How for one, Joe.
Oh, I couldn't distinguish the voices. It's raining here, and I've got rain on top of this marquee because I'm having a coffee at the Old Spot Market, which is still on, which is good. So I'm enjoying my coffee.
Oh, beautiful. Now, Joe, I mean, you guys are the experts in growing all sorts of fabulous subtropical fruiting plants in Adelaide. And, I mean, I'm just going to start with something that's not necessarily that unusual per se, figs. You know, everyone loves figs. But tell us about the amazing collection of figs. I mean, I thought you used to grow 60 varieties, but then I read something. I've got that completely wrong, haven't I?
Yes, we have over 400 varieties.
Oh, my goodness.
In pots,
I mean,
with individual irrigation on them.
Amazing. And so you'll be selling, so if people are into figs, figs are one of my favourite fruits. I've got four different figs out here at my new garden. If you are into fig trees and you say, you know what, I've got one, but I want others, they can go along and they can purchase figs from you. Now, you've also got lots of different grapes.
Yes, we've probably got about 10 varieties of grapes, mainly with seeds, because we find that in our changing climate, especially when it goes humid like this, the ones with seeds do a lot better and don't get as much fungus on them. But we actually have something called Isabella and Canada Muscat, which are not affected by this humidity at all.
Interesting. And one of the other things, often, you know, I think the fruit with seeds has better flavour.
It does. It does. The ones without seeds tend to be sweet, but the ones with seeds have the flavour.
Absolutely, because the seed is actually the flavour compound. Now, tell us about some of the other subtropical plants that you have for sale, and then we'll talk about the fact that this sale is actually undercover, so it doesn't matter what the weather's doing.
Ah, yes. Well, we've got things like rose apple, which is a beautiful fruit, tastes like rose damask, and there's one in the Botanic Gardens now near Hackney Road, which could be fruiting at the moment. We've got Brazil cherry. We've got some Australian natives like bunion nut and burdock and plum. I'm trying to remember. There's so many. We've got three interesting veggies that are perennial, that are tropical, subtropical, but grow well here. We've got Okinawa spinach, which you can harvest all year round, which has got no oxalate, so you can eat it raw. And it's relative to called longevity spinach. And we've also got a sweet potato where the leaves can be eaten raw or cooked, and they're not bitter and they're not tough. So there's those interesting ones we want to promote because they are really good for sustainability.
Fantastic.
But lots and lots of subtropicals. Guavas, we've got at least five or six different guavas for sale today. We've got probably about 30 varieties of figs, maybe 10 of grapes, and lots of other interesting things. Cedar Bay cherry from up on the north coast of New South Wales, which is slow growing and has a lovely cherry-like fruit. Yeah, plenty of things.
Amazing. Now, Joe, usually you have your open garden in February, but, you know, it's been a tough year in terms of illness in your community. So instead of that, today you're having a plant sale. It's on from 10 till 3, and it's held at Andrew's Urban Farm because Andrew has a big undercover area.
Yes, and inside as well. We're going to put the pizza oven on and a sausage sizzle, and we appreciate a donation if you want to take part in that.
And so as well as just the sale, if someone wants to know about what should they grow or what could they grow in their garden, you know, obviously, there'll be yourself and Andrew on hand to answer questions and Roseanne.
And there'll be a few rare fruit people, I think, are coming down just to help out. And so they'll be able to answer questions as well.
Great.
Absolutely brilliant. And I also know Roseanne's got some of her strawberries, doesn't she?
Yes, she's got her own variety, and she's got Cambridge Rival, and she has something called Pineberry available today. And it's ready to plant now, and they've got runners, many of them got runners on them, so it's an early season for people. They can get them in ready to proliferate in spring.
Amazing, Joe. So just give us that address again.
45 Northampton Crescent, Elizabeth East.
Okay, it says terrace here. So it's 45 Northampton Crescent, Elizabeth East, from 10 until 3 today. And before we let you go, Joe, we had a couple of questions on the text line. Can an avocado tree be espaliered?
I do not know. I do have a neighbour who's espaliered just about everything. But I don't know. In Israel, they grow avocados to about 3 metres high and trellis them on frames out to about 5 or 6 metres out and let the avocados hang down for picking. So if they can do that there, we can probably espalier them. However, the avocado branches are very fragile. They break easily. So if you're going to espalier it, be very careful. But it should, I think it should be able to.
Okay.
I'm just thinking. But they don't bend easily. They tend to break.
And Esther says, me and my daddy spouted an avocado seed from an avocado that I ate for lunch. I like avocados. How can I turn it into a tree from here? So they've got a sprouting avocado seed.
So if it's sprouting, they don't like being transplanted. So the bigger is not the better if you want to plant them. So if you put it in the ground when it's small, graft it with two varieties, a type A and a type B. Find someone who's got a Hass, someone who's got a type B as well, like a Puerta or something similar, get the grafts on in November, and you will have avocados in 3 or 4 years' time. If you let it go from seed, mine took 16 years from seed. It takes a long time from seed.
All right. And Shelley in Tea Tree Gully asks, can I dig up and move a dwarf pomegranate to a new spot this week?
If the ground is wet, the ground is warm, it should be no problems if you have enough on the root ball and prune it back. But you'd know that.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Well, good luck with today. I hope you raise a lot of money and have a lot of fun.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Kilinowski from Joe's Connected Gardens. Yep, see you soon again and let us know any events that are coming up in the future as well.
This is Talk Back Gardening with Deb Tribe and Sophie Thompson.
On 891 ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
Sophie, lovely to be with you this morning on Talkback Gardening. If you want to speak to Soph, give us a call on 1300 222 891. Can't do Talkback Gardening without you. If you'd like to drop us a line, the text line is 0467922891. Now, Sophie, autumn action is your topic of conversation this morning. So run us through what we should be doing in our garden ahead of autumn.
Well, really, I'm going to divide it into two parts. One is your ornamental garden, your exotic garden. And, you know, the first thing I tell you to do at any time is to weed, you know, because weeds compete with our plants for moisture and nutrients. And as we go into the cooler weather and, you know, there's more rainfall, weeds will take off. So if you are wanting to plant in your garden, if you go, do you know what, this area of the garden is a bit ordinary, it had no colour and interest over summer, you know, I've lost some plants, I've got new spaces. The next thing I'd do is to prepare. Now, the quality of anything that we grow is ultimately determined by the soil. So if you know you've got, you know, gutless sandy soil, I would be adding some type of clay to that and some organic matter. If you've got heavy clay soil, you might be adding some gypsum to it and some organic matter. So ultimately, improve the soil before you plant. You know, there's the old saying that you plant a $1 plant in a $10 hole. In other words, you take a bit of time to invest in improving the soil and you will have great outcomes. I mean, part of the reason we've had incredible growth out here is I have put a lot of organic matter into the soil in the form of compost or aged animal manures, and the plants are loving it. So that's obviously really important. And now in terms of planting, you know, if you plant exotic plants now, there's still warmth in the soil, there's hopefully moisture in the soil, their roots will actually get growing. And you're giving plants, planting in autumn gives them 6 to 9 months to get established before the next onslaught of summer comes. And that's really a great way to go. Now, you could also be, you know, I would tell you to feed, you know, I'm sure there's some people that have actually been out scattering fertilizer ahead of the expected rain, because if you put organic based fertilizers on, it takes them a month to be available for your plants. And so putting them on now, it's still moist, while it's moist and while it's warm, in 1 month's time your plants will love it. And whether it's, you know, the secret to having a good looking lawn over winter is to have a well fed lawn going into autumn. And then obviously if you've got bare ground, mulch it. You know, that's for any time of year. And then I'm going to just talk about veggies. Now, autumn action in the veggie patch is just the same. We prepare your soil. If you're going to plant some autumn crops, and planting some brassicas early in March will mean that you will actually have, so brassicas are broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower and kohlrabi and kale. Planting some early means that in June you'll be enjoying them, whereas often people wait till, you know, May, June. By then the soil's got really cold. If you plant something, you mightn't be harvesting broccoli until August, September. So planting some early. The challenge with that is you've probably still got all these summer crops pumping. So your tomatoes are looking gorgeous and your zucchinis are looking gorgeous, so there's no space. So I would tell you to look around your veggie patch and choose areas where you can pull some of the crops out that are tired. You know, if you've got a zucchini that's been pumping for months, I would, you know, and it's got powdery mildew and it's getting a bit feeble, that's the sort of plant I would be pulling out, and I would be improving that soil to put in one of the winter crops. A little hack with tomatoes too is that if you've got a tomato that's slowed down, it's been pumping for you, but it's slowed down, but it's still got all these green tomatoes on it and you're desperate for space, what you can actually do is you can pull the plant out, roots and all, and hang it up in the shed, the garage, the veranda, and those fruits will continue to ripen. And if you need a good recipe for, you know, if you're sick of pickle and you need a good recipe for green tomatoes, on my website there's a great recipe for green tomato cake. So really it's all about getting busy now while there's still warmth in the ground. And then the final thing, whatever we plant now, you are going to have to protect, because as we come into the cooler weather, the snails and slugs are going to be active. If you plant brassicas now, if you plant broccoli now, if you haven't got a way of protecting it from caterpillars, whether it's in the term, you know, in terms of spraying with a Dipel, which is a BT organic bioinsecticide, or you net them, if you don't protect your plants from caterpillars, because those beautiful white cabbage white butterflies are everywhere, they will absolutely hammer your plant at this time. They're more active in the warmer weather. So if you're going to plant, before you plant your brassicas, look at the backs of the leaves. Sometimes they already have eggs of caterpillars on them. So look at the plants thoroughly before you plant them, and then the way I choose to go is I use insect exclusion netting, because it's a one-off, and then I know that my plants are safe from caterpillars.
Wow.
So there's a lot in that, but, you know, basically get active if you can.
Yes, some excellent advice there. And don't forget, you can listen back to that advice in the podcast via ABC Listen, or you can listen back to it after this program online at abc.net.au/Adelaide. Thank you, Sophie. What a great rundown. Let's head to Aberfoyle Park. Rick and his peaches await. Hi, Rick.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking the call. It's actually plums, apples, and some of the citrus. I've got, for the first time ever, highlighted green leaves. We've had good crops. We've been fertilising, a lot of mulch, a lot of dynamic lifter. Horse poo might be the issue, but gee whiz, the leaves are highlighting the green stems.
So do you mean that the leaves are yellow with darker green veins?
No, they're not yellow, green leaves, I suppose they're faded green, but the spine, what do you call that?
The vein that runs through.
The midrib.
Yeah, the veins are very dark and the leaves are quite, I suppose they're going yellow, but they're still green.
Okay. And this only happened after you put the horse manure on?
No, well, that's it. I mean, I've been doing that the last couple of years, but I still use the dynamic lifter and other bits and pieces that come along. Obviously use sheep stuff out there and a cow if I can get it.
Yep.
Under the trees. And in the veggie garden, well, those tomatoes from Lucendale, they still haven't ripened. And they've been in for ages. They're big. But they're yep. green and they're looking okay. Maybe a bit of rust at the bottom, but that's my fault.
Yep.
But it just seems the whole garden seems to be, well, I don't know if I'm doing the wrong thing. I did put some other fertilizer, trace elements or something. No, it was mushroom compost.
Oh.
I did use mushroom compost a year or so ago, and I stopped using it because I was told it's probably not the right thing for fruit trees. So there you go. How can you?
Okay, so
18 millimetres of rain.
Oh, how heaven. Mushroom compost can be quite alkaline, right? So that can cause some of the symptoms you're describing. But if you used it a year ago, I'm not sure why it's still showing up. I would actually be taking some leaves along to your local nursery or garden centre, plant specialist, okay, and getting someone to have a look. It might be that you just need to get something like complete trace elements that you can add that will, you know, so if the soil has become quite alkaline, that can sometimes lock up nutrients that the plants need, and that could be resulting in the discoloration in the leaves that you're seeing. Now, the thing is, people get a pH test kit. They only work on your natural soil. As soon as you start adding organic matter to it, they're not going to give you an accurate reading. So it's often hard to actually measure if it's too alkaline or not. But the plant will be showing you. So I would take some leaves along to your local nursery or garden centre, see what they think. It sounds like you've fed heaps, and maybe you just need to pull back and just put some trace elements to balance that. You're still getting fruiting and everything, Rick?
Well, the cherry trees were very good again this year, but the plums were down, and the apples, well, they've been attacked by possum and RATs.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, so that's just normal stuff though, really, isn't it? So, look, I would be looking at complete trace elements, but I would take leaves along in a plastic bag to your local nursery or garden centre.
Okay, and those trace elements can be put on any time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. All the best with that, Rick.
Good on you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Rick. Very interesting call. Thank you very much. Sue asks on the text line, Sophie, can you suggest where to access aged animal manure?
Oh, okay. So, I tend to use what's local. So out here I've got access to sheep manure. If you drive in the hills, you'll see bags of manure on the side of the road, and it's, you know, you'll see people, some people will have horse manure for sale. Some people will have, cow manure for sale in bags. You can actually buy aged manures like cow manure in your local nursery or hardware store. The thing to understand is you need to know what type of manure it is. So if you get a bag of chicken manure off the side of the road, which you sometimes will too, that is what we call a hot manure. That can burn things. So that really is best put in your compost and mix through, whereas something like aged cow manure or sheep manure, you can actually put straight out onto the garden.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much. Call in 1300 222 891, 1300 222 891, to speak to Sophie and get some excellent advice. We'll catch up with Petra. We've got lots of other questions coming in at the moment as well. Don't miss out. She's only with us for another half an hour or so.
This is Talk Back Gardening with Deb Tribe and Sophie Thompson.
On 891, ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
It's Talk Back Gardening time. Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning, Deb, and good morning, listeners.
And we know that the rain is happening around the state. Some people are getting it. Some people aren't getting any at all. But hopefully, if you need it, you will get some this weekend. Just do remember that there are some warnings in place, and we will reiterate those a little bit later in the program. Coming up, we have got a couple of ABC Organic Gardener magazines to give away, one by phone and one by text, if you'd like to get prepared for that. But we'd love your calls on 1300 222 891. Sophie is here to answer your gardening questions right now. Let's get straight into it with Petra, who is in South Plympton with a pomegranate question. Hello, Petra.
Good morning, Deb and Sophie. Sorry, I'm going to bombard you with a couple of questions about pomegranates. Uh-huh. I believe that there are two types of fruiting pomegranates. One has a hard seed and the other one has a very soft seed. But I don't know which variety is which, because I'm interested in espaliating one, and I'm not sure whether you can espaliate pomegranates either.
Okay. So I'm not sure about the soft seed pomegranates. There are actually lots and lots and lots of different sorts of pomegranates. Yeah. And for people that dislike the seeds, can I tell you that's actually the most nutritious part of the fruit, right? That's what you should be eating, not the bit around the outside. And so if you put pomegranates, excuse me, I just grabbed something to eat. If you put pomegranates, say, in a juice or a blender, you're smushing them up. And so at the end of the season, at my previous property, I would try and have lots of little containers of frozen pomegranates in the freezer. And then, you know, you can put them, you know, in your smoothie or whatever. Now, as far as if there are soft-seeded varieties, that's probably a question for the Rare Fruit Society and Joe Kilnarowski. Okay. I have seen pomegranates sort of grown, not – so when people say espalier, if you grow a plant on the horizontal, that's often against its desire, right? So I have seen pomegranates grown as a fan shape, and they looked quite gorgeous. But I would get in touch with the Rare Fruit Society. I was a speaker at one of their meetings a couple of months ago, and I'm very excited because they gave me more or less a white pomegranate, which I'd never seen before. And so I've got about five different types of pomegranates out here, and they're all amazing. And, of course, you can get the proper juices, which basically squash the whole thing, and then you don't have to spend time shucking them. So I would get in touch with the Rare Fruit Society about that, Petra.
Oh, thank you. That's a good idea. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Petra. Yes, they're a font of knowledge, and, you know, there's probably a question that they – there's not a question that they can't answer is what I was trying to say.
No, and there's probably some of them listening going, blah, 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 blah.
I know the answer to that. Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Peter is on York Peninsula. Peter, you've got an issue with your cucumbers. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, it's not a real issue, but grew some Lebanese cucumbers, and I actually grew them on a trellis this year, and boy, they did a great job. They went well, but we had some for tea grated some up last night, and there were quite a few seeds on the edge of the grating board, and I thought, well, if I wanted to keep some seeds to plant next year, would those seeds coming out of the fresh cucumbers be viable, or would I have to leave a cucumber on the vine to dry right out and keep them that way?
Okay. Now, you know, ultimately too, there's one other thing in there. It depends on what variety it is. If it's one that's an F1 hybrid, it won't come true to seed too. But if it's one that, is a... an heirloom variety or something that you've been growing from year to year to year, I would – generally we keep the fruit till they ripen, they over-ripen and wait till they dry, you know, the fruit's gone yellow and things like that. But I would try some. Just see how you go, Peter. Are they – is it one that you grew from seed year after year?
No. Unfortunately, we bought it. Some plants at a nursery and put them in, so that may not be as good.
Yeah, so look, if you keep the label, because often what we do is when we plant something, we tuck the label in the bed, just look at it. It'll say F1. So if it says F1 hybrid, that seed isn't viable. It won't come true to type, because to make an F1 hybrid, they cross two varieties together, and then you get this special, what they call an F1, but it won't come true to seed.
Yeah, no, it's ones that I bought at a nursery, and I would have thought they were hybrids because, boy, they were lovely, you know.
Fantastic.
Beautiful plants, but I could give it a try, maybe,
Absolutely, the thing is, nurseries also sell diggers varieties, and they certainly can be grown from seed. So, yeah, cucumbers, it's interesting. You know, I'm out here, like, in the desert. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully we do get rain this afternoon. But growing cucumbers in wicking beds, if you've always struggled with cucumbers, there's lots of locals out here that are telling me they're having amazing success in wicking beds. And growing on a trellis is also brilliant because the fruit gets to hang and you get improved air circulation, so it's a great way.
I thought, yeah, I'll do it again.
Oh, we're losing
Peter,
you there.
We're losing you. Yeah, maybe losing you're getting Peter. That rain.
Sorry, Peter.
Oh, no.
Yep. We've lost you, Peter. Good luck with it. Thank you so much for calling. Love to hear from you too on 1300 222 891. John is in Bridgewater with a compost question. Hi, John.
Good morning, ladies. Look, I've got a compost pile. It's probably a couple of metres by a couple of metres, and it's easily a metre deep. But it's mostly made up of eucalypt bark and leaves and a few grass clippings, a little bit of food scraps and chicken manure. Is there anything else that I should be adding to it to give it any... to improve it?
Yeah. So, I mean, really the quality of compost is... the best composts have got the most diverse ingredients. So, you know, and there's the two types of ingredients. We've got our green, which is our fresh stuff. It sounds like that's been coming from food scraps and lawn clippings. The brown is the dry stuff. You know, if that's been mainly eucalypt mulch, I would try and get some, you know, hay and shredded paper and all sorts of other stuff. You could also go to the local coffee shop and say, can I have some coffee grounds, right? Now, even though coffee grounds are brown, if you scatter them through, we treat them as a green addition to the pile. So it's having the most diversity you can. If you've had some chicken manure, maybe you want to get some sheep manure or, you know, horse manure in there too. And as much different material as you can. It might be that, you know, for example, you have, I'm just trying to think, some plants in your garden that need a good haircut, canna lilies or something like that. And all that fresh material could go in, and whether you've got a mulcher you put it through or even you put it on the ground and just run your mower over it, that would be fantastic. So the more diversity will give you the better compost. And if you've only got a couple of materials going in, it won't be as good as if you've got lots of materials.
We've got plenty of different materials, and I do put it through a mulcher. So it through the year, you know, the tomato plants, any prunings that happen other than roses or hydrangeas, everything goes into it.
Fantastic. And the coffee grounds thing is an interesting one, because the average coffee shop produces about 50 kilos of coffee grounds per week. So often they're delighted if someone wants to get it and use it for them. So good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, John. Sounds like you're doing a very good job already. Bryony is in Hallett Cove, and you've got a question about the council plantings, Bryony.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Sorry, I've just gone off to the kitchen. I've got you on speakerphone.
No, you'll need to take us off speakerphone, Bryony. It won't go to air like that.
You've got a... Yes. A street tree that's been planted.
Yes, the council have planted the Chinese pistachio trees along the street. I've seen pictures of them. They're very beautiful. They have flame red flowers, but I don't know much about them. I don't think they're native.
They're not native because they're deciduous. And there is a debate. We do need lots of native plants, but deciduous trees are fantastic for letting in the winter sun and being really cool in summer. Now, I'm looking out my window at a Chinese pistachio. I've planted one out in the desert. They are incredibly hardy. They are medium-sized tree eventually. Sometimes they can have a bit of a – they can need a bit of help to get a good form when they're young. But once – I think the council will have probably planted one that's already got a good form. And they are the most beautiful trees. And when they drop their leaves, Bryony, you know, not only do they go spectacular autumn colour, they're in the main street of Harndorf. So if anyone's in Harndorf at the moment, they're starting to colour. They're beautiful. But when they drop their leaves, I'd be out on the footpath raking up those leaves, because those leaves, being deciduous leaves, are a wonderful addition to a compost pile. And, you know, even to the extent that if you get a few too many to put in your compost bin, I would be either keeping them in sacks for use later on, because typically in our compost we get too much fresh stuff and, you know, not enough dry stuff. But doing that would be really important.
All right. Thank you very much. That's wonderful to know.
Thanks,
all the best, Bryony. Yeah. And, you know, as we go into autumn, the other thing I should have talked about, Deb, probably, is just touching on the fact that the leaves that will drop over the next couple of months, people often go, oh, my gosh, the leaves, right? You know, ultimately they are a resource, right? So if you can keep them in sacks to use with your compost when you need dry material, great. If you've got so many, look into making leaf mould, because it's basically making your own natural moisture retentive agent.
So they are liquid gold.
They're not liquid gold, but they are garden gold.
Yes. They're like, it's a liquid gold if they're from a liquid amber. had to save myself somehow there. So can I just come back to pomegranate again? Just had a text through saying you can espalier pomegranate trees. Mine is espaliered to 3 horizontal branches and it's bearing fruit.
Wow, fantastic.
So there you go. Give it a go. 1-300-222-891 is the phone line. The text line is 0467-922-891, and you'll need those because we're giving away a couple of ABC Organic Gardener magazines. If you're sending one in via the text line, please put your full name and postal address. We'll give those away right now.
This is Talk Back Gardening with Deb Tribe and Sophie Thompson.
On 891, ABC Radio Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
Congratulations to Colin in Hallett Cove, who has won via the phone an Organic Gardener magazine. We'll let you know who the winner is by text in a moment. Let's go to Kensington now. Rosemary has a lawn question for us. Hi, Rosemary.
Good morning, Deb and Sophie. We planted a turf, and it wasn't the one I asked for. It ended up being Sir Walter. The dogs weed on it. Possibly beetles have got it. It's almost all dead. So we're going to do it again. And looking at research, I've come across something called Zoysia. Zoysia.
Yep.
And there are two types, Empire and an Australian developed one called Nala. I'm wondering if you can advise me whether they might survive the dogweed and the beetles better.
Okay, so can I go back a step? When you get beetles in a lawn, it's because the lawn has soft, sappy growth. So either it's getting overwatered or overfed or not fed with organic, fed with chemical stuff. So beetles are not a given. They are when the lawn is not ideal, right? So you can actually manage that. Now, as far as dogs, I have 2 golden Labradors, girls, and I have small areas of Sir Walter Buffalo, and you cannot tell where they weed on it at all, right? Now. So I think actually Sir Walter is one of the better ones. Now the zoysias, I've only grown one of the zoysias, and I grew Zoysia Nara because it's actually an Australian native grass. And I was quite, I went to a lot of trouble, say 10 to 15 years ago, to get this grass. It wasn't grown locally. I had to bring it in. I love the fact that it's sort of Australian native. I thought that's fabulous. And what I found with it is it wasn't anywhere near as tough as the buffalo, and because it had to get a, you know, if it was high traffic, it didn't particularly like that, and it went dormant over winter, and then I ended up getting all the paddock grasses seeding into it, and so I had to get rid of it. It is a slower grower, I will admit, than that, and so I don't know what to say. I'm going to suggest that you contact one of the lawn companies, or even one of the lawn. So, for example, there's a sort of umbrella company called Lawn Solutions. That they're the grass marketers, if you like, and talk to them because it doesn't seem right that your dog's killed it. You know, if you had a big gum tree or a pepper tree and you were trying to grow grass under it, well, you know, that could actually be why it failed. But and then there's an exotic type of zoysia I see that they sort of market as a no-mow and it's a mounding thing. But if you want a flat lawn, I am a big fan of soft-leaf buffalo. And the good thing, I was talking to someone yesterday that if it gets in your garden bed, whereas with cooch and kikuyu, you'll never get it out. You have to use sprays to manage it. If it gets in your garden bed, you just weed it out.
Yes, I was wanting something finer and not as rough as the Sir Walter. Unfortunately, it wasn't the one that was delivered.
Okay.
King's Pride, I thought.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
So, ordered.
Yeah, so I have grown that one too. I couldn't really tell the difference between them. I know they say they're different. To me, it was a bit like Holden, you know, and Ford. They sort of looked the same.
What? Sophie, it's Motorsport Festival weekend. You can't say you can't tell a Holden from a Ford.
Well, I can't. You know, tell me the colour and I'll get that. You know, I'm not into cars. They have four wheels and that's about it. Look, I would try and get onto, you know, they're not used to taking calls from the public, but I would talk to them. So Lawn Solutions, and they're like the marketing arm of turf varieties.
Good luck with that, Rosemary. Thank you so much for the call. Just coming back to your recommendations, Sophie, on coffee grounds. Darren from Happy Valley says, I collect them from work and empty the home coffee pods to recycle them as well. Well done. Congratulations to Andrew in Anglevale, who is our other ABC Organic Gardener magazine winner. Peter is in Boolaroo Centre. Hello, Peter.
Morning, Deb. Morning, Sophie.
Nice to hear from you. Now, you've got a zucchini seed question.
Yes, I know last week Sophie said I'd already put in another four seeds for the second crop.
Yep.
And when I looked on the packet, it said sow before 2019, like on the packet of seeds.
Yep.
So I put in four seeds and they've all germinated. And I thought, how long do actually seeds, can they last for? Because that's like 7 years since recommended, so it's, I don't know how long I've had the seeds for.
Yes. Can I say that it's really interesting? I've just been sowing pumpkins over the last couple of months and some of them were out of date and some weren't. Well, actually, most of them were out of date and most actually shot. You know, I'd say about 20 to 30% didn't shoot, you know, and I was doing multiple seeds to see if I got better rates. But, you know, some seeds will last 10 plus years. So they've probably got a use-by date that's very conservative and then more time on them. But I do know that, you know, they have found, and I can't remember what culture, I have a feeling it was South America, they found a squash seed that was thousands of years old and they germinated it. So, you know, some seeds last for a very long time and other seeds have to be very fresh, like parsnip. So, you know, that's one of the seeds that you need to get fresh. If you get a packet and it's too old, it won't germinate. So I think it's great you've got a new crop of zucchinis coming up. I've just done a second planting too. And, you know, I think that will be the first ones can come out because they're probably all mildewy and slowing down and that new crop will keep going. Have you got rain, Peter?
We've had only half a millimetre like this morning, but then we had 40 mils last week. So So on the zucchinis, I did have had a couple of plants, and the mildew is very bad on those, so they're about to die. So I thought I'll try again. And so I know they say with the if it's 1 year's seeding, it's 7 years weeding, isn't it? Like they said, the weeds.
yeah, that's right, for weeds. But actually, some weeds, it's 20 years weeding. So
okay, no worries. Thanks for that. Anyway.
Good on you, Peter.
Thank you. Thanks, bye, Peter. Ta-da. Yep, I've got the 20-year variety in my backyard, no doubt about that. Ingrid's in Auburn. Now, what's happening with your bulbs, Ingrid?
Well, we've got crocus flowering and bluebells and hyacinth coming up. And this doesn't, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but this isn't the right time of year for that to happen, is it?
Well, crocus, if they're the autumn crocus, it is absolutely the right time of year. If they're the lavender ones or the yellow ones...
The yellow ones.
Yeah, so they're autumn crocus. They are absolutely stunning. And if you've got bluebells shooting and, you know, other stuff shooting, that might be because you have continued to water that area. If you had not watered, they would wait till the rains come to start to shoot. But from, you know, autumn onwards, they definitely are shooting.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like autumn, that's all.
No. Well, it doesn't, although if we get rain, it'll feel like autumn broke early.
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting rain, believe me. There's solid rain happening here now.
Great.
How wonderful.
Last night, you know, we took sort of flower last night, you know, before it really rained.
Thanks, Ingrid. Well,
enjoy those.
Yeah, exactly. And Sue will be very quick with you from Clarence Park. What's going on with your small flowering gum tree?
I think it's probably a Corymbia. I've just sort of been looking it up, but I had this most amazing flowering gum, and it had grown and flowered beautifully. And about 10 years ago, there was a storm. It split in half, so we had to cut it down, and it was probably because it was partly laden with so many flowers. Anyway, it started to reshoot, and I've got about maybe 10, 12 little shoots that are growing. I can almost watch them every day. And I've tried to see if there's one that might be decent. They all seem about the same. So can I sort of keep it trimmed like a lovely green bush, or do I just get rid of it?
Well, you could. I mean, they call that pollarding, you know, where they go along and they get a big gum that it might have had damage or whatever, and they cut it really hard, and then it has multiple shoots, and then they cut it. I would like to know what type it is, Sue. Ultimately, if you could get a photo of the flower when it's in flower next, and a photo of the plant, and take it along to somewhere like State Flora and have a chat to them, you know, they might say, you know, you're going to be creating work for yourself, or they might say, no, it'll be great. Because, you know, obviously if it's one of the mallees, and some of those can still get quite tall, that's why they, you know, they're designed to reshoot multiple times from the base. So when they get daggy, you just chop them off.
Okay, this was only a couple of metres. It was, maybe two and a half. It was small, and I mean, and I think it was probably the Corymbia family, but then there's a lot of those, so...
There are. So State Flora would be your best bet to get it identified and take a photo and see what's happening.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue, and thank you to the lovely texter who said they found some wonderful bags to protect figs rather than a huge net that you just actually put over the fruit, and they're much easier to apply, says eating juicy, yummy figs daily. Thank you very much for that. Sophie, I hope that you and everybody who wants rain gets rain for sure. I also warn everybody to stay away from any areas that look remotely flooded. Don't drive through them, don't walk through them, and don't go near rushing creeks or drains or anything like that, because we are expecting quite a bit of rain across the state both today and tomorrow. Shingleback Farm hopefully will be a recipient, Soph.
Yeah, oh, fingers crossed.
I've got fingers and toes crossed for you. We'll catch you next week, Sophie.
Okay, look forward to it, Deb. Happy gardening to all our listeners.